No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Chicago Bulls have been hovering around and sitting in mediocrity for far too long. And what many people are questioning and asking is, has the Chicago Bulls offseason done anything to really get them out that mediocrity? My answer may surprise some people. I'm going to talk about all that, plus why extending Josh Giddey is still Chicago's best bet, and we're going to dive into the mailbag on top of the Minnesota Timberwolves want Coby White. Talk a little bit about that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Eric Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go to get into this content for today, y'all. The Josh Giddey contract drama and situation is still going on with the Chicago Bulls. We still don't have any type of resolution to that situation as it stands right now, right? Now, for all we know, things could be working on in the background. Maybe that deal is going to be announced any day now. But from what we know, most of the top three restricted free agents, Jonathan Kuminga, Cam Thomas, Josh Giddey, all still remain unsigned, all still waiting for their teams to either come to a deal or maybe take the step on starting to sign offer sheets or signing trades in other places. Offer sheets may be a little bit hard to come by from those teams for those players as the offseason and where it stands right now, but we'll see what happens here. And so over this, we talked a lot about this, right? You know, you have your Bulls fans on one side of the dynamic or other side of the dynamic. And right now, the Bulls have leverage in the Josh Giddey situation. Now, that does not mean that Josh Giddey's and his camp also have some leverage, but it is what it is right now. We look, teams with cap space that can really try to sign Giddey outright are all but exhausted right now. There are none, right? Unless he's going to accept like an $18 million deal in which the Bulls at that point would match so quick, it would be ridiculous, right? They wouldn't even allow probably the paperwork to dry on the league, on any team submitting an offer sheet to Josh Giddey, right? Yeah, and that's really it. Like the Nets are probably the biggest ones that could still, even with the offseason moves, and they've shown none. And they said at the top of free agency, they aren't signing restricted free agents. That's not how they wanted to use their cap space. They didn't want their cap space locked up by another team. They wanted to acquire players and picks and focus on that. Hell, they even used all five of their first round picks, which many people did not expect them to use all of those in that draft, right? So Chicago is taking a stance where they're calculating this. And I think right now they're in a place where they don't have to pay Josh Giddey, overpay Josh Giddey, if they decide to not do so. But of course, that puts them at a risk of Josh Giddey taking the offer sheet, which is the biggest leverage that Josh Giddey and his camp have right now, is taking the offer sheet and then possibly departing for nothing at the end of next season. And while you have some Bulls fans that say, oh, let him play on the one-year deal, it makes sense, we could just re-sign him. I've said this before, and Bulls fans, and this is the right that fans have, right? They look at the now, whereas front offices have to look at everything. If you treating a free agent like Josh Giddey, regardless, somebody who players around the league do like, does have an effect on your ability to get free agents later. also, you're at a place now where you have been in mediocrity for so long. Letting a 22-year-old player with the promise that Josh Giddey has walk away for nothing, that's not good business. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your personal problems are with Josh Giddey. That's not good. The Bulls aren't at a place right now where they can turn talent down and just say, oh, yeah, walk away for nothing. That's exactly how we got to the place that we are. So Bulls fans that complain about the Bulls being stuck in mediocrity and then say things that and feel like that's a good thing to say. Oh, yeah, just let players walk away for nothing. What? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Now, I've said this before. The Bulls are playing this the smart way. You have leverage. You're actually negotiating. It is what it is, right? That's a business aspect of this. And I know some Josh Giddey stands are going to take that and be like, what do you mean, Hayes? Why are you saying that? No, like, the fact, and here's the thing, and I'm going to say this, and I know this is something a lot of Bulls fans use, how I've probably even used it before. But saying, oh, but you gave Patrick Williams money. Okay, do you want them to keep being stupid or not? Like, keep using the, oh, but you just gave Patrick Williams $18 million. Yeah, do you want them to keep doing that stuff? Do you want them to keep not negotiating with players? Do you want them to keep not trying to be smart and realize where they have the ability to get players for a little bit less? You can't complain about the P. Will deal and then use the P. Will deal as a reason why the Bulls shouldn't be negotiating here in the Josh Giddey situation. Do you not understand how those two things are in conflict? Right now, from the Josh Giddey aspect of things, he is also right to use the P. Will thing as, hey, you can't offer me $20 million. And P. Will's getting 18, right? But for people that's like, oh, now you want to negotiate? Yeah, they learn from their mistakes. Guess what? You're not stuck in perpetuity of when you make a bad mistake. Now every decision you make has to be based off that bad mistake. That's how you keep being stupid, right? So if we don't want the Bulls to continue to be stupid, no, they should not do this thing where, oh, yeah, because we gave P. Will $18 million, we should just give the next player exactly what they want either. Learn from it. If you looked at the season that P. Will had, regardless of whatever you want to get reason to it, he got passed up by a rookie. And he may lose his even reserve role to another rookie in Noah Essengay this year. So if you're looking at that situation and you're seeing, damn, yeah, you're right, damn. Now learn from it. So that's just my perspective on it. I know a lot of people have a lot of different angles and things that they take on that. But I still think extending Josh Giddey is the best bet for the Bulls. And it's the reasons that we talked about it. Josh Giddey is a playmaker, really good playmaker, really good rebounder who can start your offense as well. And I think when you look at the Bulls and the style of play, Josh Giddey is one of the engines of that style of play. Kobe was too, because Kobe's a solid rebounder, can get out in transition. Io can be also. So you have those type of things. But Josh Giddey's impact to affect the offensive side of the ball. And I think people who say things like, oh, well, it was only the last half of the season. It was more than that. Go and actually look at what Josh, like, players weren't necessarily hitting the shots because of the way that we generate the offense. This is why I am such an advanced analytic guy, because I think it paints a full picture, you know, paired with the eye test and with what you see in the regular box score. You want to look at all of that, right? And the fact of the matter is that the Bulls are in a place of retooling. And Josh Giddey was a part of that. So if they can get him on a more team-friendly contract, it just makes that even smarter. If the Bulls can end up getting Josh Giddey between $25 and $27 million, that is a very smart deal for the Chicago Bulls. Now, it's in what we've heard over the weekend, it may be more like 3 or 4 years at that point in time. You're not getting the full 5 years, but that is the risk that you should be willing to take. We can take the risk on not getting you for 5 years locked in and have to pay you more money in 3 or 4 years. At that point, you're 25, 26 years old, and we have a lot more data in seeing a better place of where the state of where this team is. And we'd be able to make that long-term money. And if you're at that point, you've earned $45 million, you've earned $45 million. So I think that's what it is. Right now, the Bulls are taking a calculated risk. And it's a smart calculated risk based on where the team is, based on the future financial situation. And we're just going to have to see. Now, Josh Giddey also, which a lot of people don't talk about, hit the three ball at, what, almost 38% last season, which is tremendous growth for a player like Josh Giddey. Who is not a great three-point shooter, and I don't think he's ever going to be a great three-point shooter, but you want to see him make those steps in those directions. And I think that's a good sign for Josh Giddey, too, and it's probably what even his agency is looking at and talking about. When Josh Giddey's been able to be him, he's been a pretty damn good player, right? And so in the role that he has here with the Bulls is a role that's kind of best suits what he needs. 37.8% three-point shooter, taking 4 per game. That's not bad volume. On a decent, that's decent volume on a really good efficiency. And if he can do that for a full season, talking about Josh Giddey taking 4, 4.5 three-pointers, hitting it at a 37% clip, for Josh Giddey, with how he creates off drives, how he gets out in transition, how he rebounds well, that's pretty solid. And I wouldn't be mad at that, production. He's also a player that, other than his rookie year, has never played less than 70 games. That's another durability fact that you need to factor into that as well, right? So there's a lot of things going in, and hopefully this thing all sees a resolution sooner rather than later so we can just get this done, go forward into basketball, because the Josh Giddey signing is probably the last domino left to fall for the Bulls. Once that's done, the Bulls' offseason is primarily done, and then they can focus, which they should already start doing, on what they want to do, the style of play, figuring out their rotation, the coaching staff, going into drawing up their game plan and what they're going to do, and that should be the focus at this point in time. That should be the focus for the Chicago Bulls once they're able to lock in Josh Giddey. Let's stop all the bullshit. Let's stop all everything else. You've made trades. You brought in Isaac Okoro, who's been more healthy than Lonzo Ball, about as good as a three-point shooter. Not necessarily the disruptive defender, but you're getting consistent defense there. You got your young gun in Noah Essanay to pair with your other one in Modest Bouzelis. Slowly but surely, the Bulls are starting to look like they are building something that makes sense, right? Still need to figure out our center position long-term, which just because you're building something that makes sense and getting to that, it doesn't mean you have all your answers yet, but you have to figure that out, right? Who's going to be your center after Nikola Vucevic is done? Are you going to be, which I keep telling y'all, and until Vuce is moved, there's always a chance that Vuce signs an extension here. I'm telling y'all that now. Just don't be surprised if in February we're talking, much like we did Lonzo, we're talking about Nikola Vucevic getting a contract extension. But all that being said, get the Giddey business done. Once you get that Josh Giddey business done, you then can move on with what you need to do, and you're there, right? You're at least there in the sense where, all right, now we are seeing how much of this is legitimate from last season, and then at that point, you can start making your decisions on what's next for your team, what's next for your roster, what's next for your place. And we'll see if the Bulls can get that done. We shall see. You guys can let me know how you feel on that down below. Now, I dropped a video late last night, after after Brett Siegel talked about the Chicago Bulls and specifically the Warriors wanting Io Dosunmu potentially in a sign and trade for Jonathan Kuminga. We talked a little bit about that. It is what it is there, right? But kind of tucked at the end of that episode, I talked about this article from Sports Illustrated that talked about the Chicago Bulls potentially, or the Chicago Bulls and Minnesota Timberwolves potentially getting a deal done for Coby White to go to Minnesota. Now, pairing that with Brett Siegel and what he said yesterday is that as what he's heard from around league sources, around summer league, the Bulls have no interest in trading Coby White, which, again, I'm not mad at. It's actually good to hear that being said because it's been so much up and down on what's going to the future is going to be with Coby. Are they going to pay him? Are they not going to pay him? But I still think this, even though the Bulls don't want to move Coby, which is what they should, the message they should be sending out right now in a season before he goes into unrestricted free agency, which he's going to do regardless. But of that happening, you should be pulling out, hey, we want you here. Now, as that goes on and the season goes on, and maybe you start feeling differently. Maybe you do hear that Coby is open to moving in the offseason. Maybe the pairing with him and Josh Giddey doesn't work. I do think at that point in time, the Bulls could start listening more actively to offers for Coby White. And that's just the nature of the business. Again, when you don't want to lose an asset for nothing and you put it in a position where they could very well leave for nothing. So you have to pair that into it with, right? But this article from Sports Illustrated, the writer was Tony Lebert, was the writer there from sportsillustrated.com. And he said he had an article in which the Minnesota Timberwolves could be focusing on getting Coby White as an additional ball handler and a player that could become a trade candidate for them, right? Saying this, the NBA offseason is here and we're almost 24 hours away. And the never stops teams from making blockbuster trades. Bulls guard Coby White is a player who continues to be mentioned as a potential trade candidate this offseason. So let's look at what Minnesota could put together in hopes of acquiring him. And so they go on to talk about the article about how Coby White fits into there. And they say this, the trade idea we're playing with features Coby White coming to Minnesota in exchange for Dante DiVincenzo and Rob Dillingham. A straight up trade featuring White for DiVincenzo doesn't work because of the money. So more pieces.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit MidAmerica shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Have to be involved. In this case, the Wolves may decide whether they want to part with Dillingham or Terrence Shannon Jr., which I think with the offseason that Terrence Shannon Jr. has had, maybe not, or maybe they look to leverage that to get a more kind of sure thing in Coby White, right? Take that what you will. White is still only 25 years old and is coming off a breakout year, so Chicago's not going to part ways with him for nothing. DiVincenzo saw a scoring dip from 15.5 points per game in 2023-24 to 11.7 last season, but he's still one of the most team-friendly contracts in the NBA. Pairing him with Dillingham could get Minnesota a lead guard option who's ready to compete as a starter next season. So the trade that they have out here is Dante DiVincenzo and Rob Dillingham, which their combined contracts come right at to 17, well, almost 18 million. You're then trading that for Coby White, whose contract is 12 million. Keep in mind, the Bulls do have a trade exception to which they can absorb one of those contracts into. And so this is an interesting point to look at. Now, I think that Minnesota is still looking for a point guard. While Coby White has played point guard, the way that he is when he plays point guard is he creates off drives. Now, is that something that they could want? When you look at how Anthony Edwards grew as a facilitator last year, how he grew as a three-point shooter as well last year, could Coby White be something that the Minnesota Timberwolves could be interested in? That's the question that you have here. And it's one that I say this, but this is something that definitely I think could be revisited maybe towards the trade deadline where both teams have a chance and opportunity to see what they have, what worked, what didn't work over the season. Maybe at that point, the Minnesota Timberwolves say to themselves, hey, we need to gear up. We need more firepower gearing in for a what they're hoping is going to be a long postseason run in the Western Conference. And they do want to make a change in Dante DiVincenzo and maybe Rob Dillingham, who may not be in the rotation by then, to try to bring them in, to try to send them out and get in Coby White. Man, so keep an eye out for that. But again, this isn't a scenario that I think is anything. And they're not even, for what it's worth, in the article, they're not trying to present it as something that's like, on the precipice is happening. It's more presented as just kind of an idea, but you guys can let me know how you feel on all of that, of course, down below. But with that said, you know, Mondays, we like to get into overflow in the mailbag. We had a couple of voicemails that I didn't get to over the weekend. This first one, this one's from Josh.
What's up, Chicago Bulls Central? Hey, this is Josh out in Arizona. I'm calling to say this term, like, I think I gotta give AK his props. Although he hasn't made like too many moves this offseason, I think with the way last season ended with Coby White and Josh Giddey going off, but also like missing guys like Io and P. Will playing like butt cheeks, they still did their thing. With new additions like Kevin Herter and Collins and Trey Jones and whatnot. So I believe if inside the Chicago Bulls organization, they might have higher expectations for this season, even though like the betting odds on their win percentage and whatnot is not the best. I still believe they probably are going to have like higher expectations. And with that, it's almost like every single player that's on the roster right now has somewhat of a chip on their shoulder. And that breeds a lot more competition within the team. So with that added competition between teammates, you know, to get better and they're playing for spots. They're playing for their time in rotation, critical time, especially with Billy Donovan. But also playing through Billy Donovan's system of the speed and getting lots of buckets and whatnot. I think it breeds somewhat of a competitive energy for everybody to be as good as they can. So, would the Bulls overachieve this year? I don't know. That would be the main question of all that. Could the Bulls possibly overachieve this year? Somewhat in a way, like, similar to the Pacers, not last season, but the season before when they won the in-season tournament. It surprised everybody, so I don't know. Could be a little optimistic, but let me know what you think. Have a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I think AK does deserve some props, but I think rightfully so, and I understand it, is that a lot of Bulls fans are hesitant to give AK props until they see us actually be successful in something, right? And, you know, last year was the first year in a while that our record didn't get worse from the season prior to that, which is cool, but now can you build off of that? Can you go in the opposite direction whereas you actually start getting more wins, right? We know that the Bulls aren't projected to win very many games this season, you know, according to the bets and the odds, as you said, but the Bulls have kind of always done more than what they've been projected to do by betting sites, as I think most teams do. So we'll see what happens there. But you ask a great question. What are the expectations for the Bulls next year? To me, my expectations as it stands right now until seeing this team play together and seeing how much of what they did at the end of the last season ends up being how they play for the majority of the season, I think the thing that Bulls should be aiming for, at least a 500 record. Like, you won 39 games last year, and those 39 games with Josh Giddey starting off the season hurt. P. Will coming off, starting off the season, coming back from a foot injury. You had Zach LaVine on the team, who your style of play really did change and gear more towards getting everybody involved after the trade of Zach LaVine. Kobe White, you know, had his most consistent season. Can he build off of that? You were missing Io. You were missing Lonzo for parts last season. Now, hopefully, Io's going to be more healthy. You got Isaac Okoro, who's been more healthy than that. And, of course, steps from Matis Buzelis. How much does the rookie show you? Does Julian, Daylen, do any of those guys take another step in their game, right? So you're hoping for that. I think you have some of the best big man depth that you've had in a while, too, with Vooch and Zach Collins starting off on your roster, as well as Jalen Smith being there. So there are a lot of options now there for the Bulls. So I think the thing is, I'm aiming for a 500 season. If you can have a 41-41 season, I know that's only two wins more than the year prior, but to me, that says something about where you are, especially if you get there via Josh Giddey, Kobe, Matis Buzelis, really looking like these players that have really started benefiting from them playing together and their chemistry is on point. So that's what I'd be looking for, and we'll see what happens there. All right, let's get into the last voicemail for today. This one's from Shay.
Yo, hey, what's up? This is Shay. Look, man, I know I done said this before, and I know you're probably tired of hearing about it, but I'm the Bulls. I really, 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 really consider going after the New Orleans Pelicans hard. No Diddy. About Eve Miss. Look, I know what people gonna say, they not giving you no Eve Missy and none of that blah blah blah, all of the bullshit. But hey, we already seen that. The Bulls don't really give a fuck about second-round picks, so I say give them a second-round pick and probably get them a player like Nikola Vucevic, because I know he missing ain't going to be that much, because from what I can remember, I think he was a second-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. Or I might be wrong. You know, I could be wrong, so correct me if I'm wrong on that. But I would really consider going after E. Missy pretty hard. Again, no Diddy. But at the same time, he fits our timeline. And by the looks of it, I don't think the Bulls are smart enough to get no center in the draft. Otherwise, they would have got one instead of Noah Essanay. Look, they already got Derek Queen. And I really, 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 really doubt with the signing of Kevon Looney, the New Orleans Pelicans are going to be playing Eve Missy or making him a priority in long-term future. So what I would do if I were the Bulls, I would really try to, I would really, 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 really be aggressive, be trying to go hard and try to get him. Like, look, it's not like he's gonna be offered no first round pick. And on top of that, I don't think New Orleans has a need for him, especially with Derrick Queen now. So, if you were me, would you be going after Ian Missy aggressively? Because he solved all your center problems, and plus you don't need him to necessarily score much, and he can rebound and block shots. And by the way, I don't even think we're going to get a center. I don't even think we're going to be even looking for a center in this next year's upcoming draft, because we would have did it a long time in this one, or so the year we got Dalen Terry. So, would you be going, if you were AK, would you be going after E. Misty? Because I know for a fact I would, especially if he solves a lot of our problems. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
Missy was the 21st overall pick, so he was picked in the first round there, Shay. And I think sometimes, you know what, Shay? And I'm saying this lovingly. No shots here at all. But sometimes, instead of you in your voicemails, you being worried about, I know what people are going to say, which you usually are wrong there, how about you research some of that stuff? Like, instead of being worried, like, you create this imaginary person that you're arguing against, and instead of that, you could have looked up, hey, nah, Eve Missy was a first-round pick, which then could have made your voicemail better, because then you could have, you know, talked about it, well, hey, this is why. It's for, like, just a little aside there. Sometimes you'd be trying to play too cool and sounding tough when you don't need to be. We just here talking basketball, my boy. But I don't know if they're if they move or prioritize Missy. Here's why I say that. Derrick Queen and Eve Missy actually can provide a nice balance of offense and defense. And I do think the Pelicans are still also waiting to see, are they actually going to keep Zion Williamson long-term? Because I can see a world in which Derrick Queen and Eve Missy are starting 4 and 5. I can completely see a world in that if you eventually move on from Zion. So, and I get it, Kevon Looney they did bring in, but I don't think Kevon Looney is really changing the direction for anybody quite yet. So that's the way that we're now. We know that Derrick Queen is going to be out now, you know, with the hand injury, wrist injury, for 12 weeks, but they should put him back still by training camp. But I don't know if the Pelicans are going to look to move Eve Missy. Now, here's what I will say though. I mean, making a call is never a bad thing. Eve Missy, and you look at his stats last year, 67 games played. I mean, sorry, 67 games started, 73 games played, the 1.3 blocks, a half a steal, only one turnover per game and shooting the ball 50% from the field overall, 62% from free throw range is a little shaky there, 8.2 rebounds. Eve Missy is definitely a player that you can see, and he was a guy that I was very high on in that draft as well. You can see how he can help NBA teams. He's probably going to be a walking double-double at bare minimum when you look at it over the course of his career. I don't think that's a bad thing. You look at his post-All-Star break numbers, right? 10 points per game, 8.8 rebounds, still 1.1 blocks per game as well, still the half a steal. His turnovers actually went down after that. Also, like, Eve Missy is a player, and he's a player that I do like a whole lot. And I'm not mad if the Bulls make a call. I just don't know how easy it's going to be to prime away from the Pelicans, if that makes sense, Shay. But I guess we shall see. Maybe AK can make something happen. But all right, that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. But that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.